Date of receiving the letter to request mediation from the appropriate mediation center should he/she choose to do so. That's the end of the appendix. And that's the only other change that I would recommend for Chapter 2.
Now, you had the ending with if the person chooses to do the mediation. I had, had an H, an agreement reached by the parties to the dispute. And the mediation process will be set forth in a written
I beg your pardon?
Agreement.
I did not turn the page. Didn't feel it. And I thought that was... Okay, see, this is a way to keep everybody awake. It's not boring. I apologize. Continuing. H, an agreement reached by the parties to the dispute in the mediation process will be set forth in a written mediation agreement. I, discussions that occur during mediation are confidential and may not be used as evidence in any subsequent due process hearing or civil proceeding. The parties to the mediation process may be required to sign a confidentiality pledge prior to the commencement of the mediation process. Should both sides agree to mediation, the mediation center will make the appropriate arrangements. The centers require 2 weeks to set up the mediation. The process is completed within 27 days. NCBVI will pay for any accommodations needed and will pay on an hourly rate for cases referred to a center. And that is the last page.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Being an old school person, I would change in regards to with regard.
Okay.
One regard, and it would be with regard.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions or comments about adding this to the draft? Would anyone like to make a motion? Excuse me?
That's all right, I'm just a member of the public. I'll wait for the motion to take place. I'll make my comment.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim Biroff had a comment.
Yes, thank you, Jim.
Very quickly, it mentioned, I believe, in up at the very top, 04.02, if I remember correctly, that it mentioned the individual seeking mediation should send the request via mail and give the address you send it. Do we want to specify what type of mail in this age of computers and electronics? Do we want a certified mail, U.S. mail, email, kind of mail? Do we want to get that set?
Are there any laws regarding what kind of mail?
Well,
this would be.
Yeah, in some other sections, especially Chapter 3, there are a number of citations to this sort of process, and it specifies if it's certified mail is required. I would say for the sake of the person petitioning a hearing, that it should not need to be certified mail. If we send something to them, it needs to be certified mail. But for the individual who wants to file a petition, either personal delivery or mail. Now we could add, I mean, in a sense, mail could include email, or you could specify that. I am not aware of any law that would predicate which way it needed to be.
Okay. Well, procedurally speaking, I would prefer to get a motion before we continue the discussion so that we can have a discussion on a motion to put this in or not, because if there's a motion to not put it in or whatever, then we...
I move that we put it in.
Is there a second?
Can we put what in? What's the formal?
This mediation portion of the rule.
Oh, I...
Was that a second, Bob?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right, now we can go back officially to discussion. Were you still saying something, Jim?
Yeah, I would recommend that if we want to, you know, email or whatever, that it be specified in the whatchacallit. That way it's clear, it's in there, there's no room for wiggle room, that, you know, it's clear. And mail, you know, can encompass U.S. mail, like email, like courier pigeon, whatever.
This
could be to specify.
This is
personally, this is...
Dorothy?
Bob, I would like to see it read certified mail. I know things get lost in the mail. That would be to protect the client, the consumer, if he had proof he sent a letter.
Along with that.
Okay, Pearl. Oh. Pearl, were you trying to comment a little bit ago?
I was going to suggest that we say by personal delivery, comma, mail, comma, or email. If you're right, the certified mail protects the sender, but it does then require a non-electronic manner, unless you send a disk, but email would be a way that could maybe make it a little more accessible for people.
There's no guarantees email is going to get there either.
That's right.
I don't think email is a recognized form of notice at this point.
I agree with that. I just don't.
I think U.S. mail is sufficient. I mean, we have the mailbox rule. I mean, God knows stuff gets lost in the mail, but, you know, very rarely. I think U.S. mail is sufficient.
If you want something certified each time you send mail, it could be burdensome after a while.
Look, a number of years ago, Nebraska had a woman's governor, and the people thought that Nebraska would be one of the last states in the union to have a woman's governor. I have my own personal opinion, I probably won't go there, but I think that as a member of the public, I choose not to send something via post office because I'm cheap and they want to pay 37 cents. I should have the right to, you know, no, email is not guaranteed, absolutely. But then again, neither is certified mail, because means that too. What is worth?
This is Cardi, and one of our people here has a comment to make.
Okay, could you state your name when you have a comment?
Like on the search.
Excuse me?
This is Dennis Wright. Go ahead, Dennis.
On the certified letter, now in the school, when it receives the letter, who gets to be responsible for signing for the letter? I mean, that creates a problem for the school down there, doesn't it? Who's in contact with the mailman brings the letter in, and somebody at the front desk, one of the secretaries signs for it, she's responsible. Is that the person that needs to be responsible for signing for a certified letter at the school?
What school?
You mean the center at the office for the visually impaired? Is that what you mean by the school?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. If I may
go ahead, Pearl.
All right. When a certified letter comes in to the front desk, I believe what they do is, if it has my name on it, then they instead of whoever's at the desk signing for it, he or she will see if I'm there. And if I am there, I'll come to the front and get the letter, and I will sign for it. Or someone else that they would have to sign. If that is not an option, then the secretarial staff could sign for the letter, and you know, we have processes within our office to keep things organized, so I don't think that would be a problem. We recently received a letter to the former director, Dr. James Nyman, and so I signed for it. So that's just an example. It would not cause a problem.
Now, in rule, we can stipulate what the what the commission is required to do. Now, in terms of, you know, this issue has to do, this part of it, with what the person who is seeking mediation would do. Now, we do we have authority to specify to that person what he or she will do? Is the purpose of that so that the commission knows when a request has come in that it is really official? That's what we're trying to determine here?
I suppose if we had it, that would be possibly part of it. The other thing I thought of is that to have proof that it was filed within the 30 calendar days. But my perspective is that we cannot require the individual. I mean, we can't say how they must file.
Right.
So
yeah.
I don't know if anybody knows something different.
Well, a postmark would serve, if anything, if you're just going to use ground mail.
You're speaking to the whole state.
A postmark would serve to mark the time. My feeling is that they're requiring a client to use certification put an extra burden on the client, and that's not fair.
And this is Mike Floyd speaking.
Well, this is Mike Floyd speaking.
Thank you. So
what we're talking about, I think, is what we're requiring the agency to do to be fair to the client. And I think we should have as much latitude as possible for the client to respond with. If that's fax, email, or ground mail, or carrier pigeon, as Mr. Yurok pointed out.
So the way it is stated right now is,
filing may be accomplished by personal delivery or mail and will be received during regular office hours.
Pearl, is that Jim Yurok again? Is that 4.0.4, whatever that number is up there, does that, maybe I missed it, does that deal specifically with how the client should pursue the mediation process? Why am I reading that backwards? Is that the agency, how they'll respond?
The section 004 is commencement of a contested case, and this part that we're reading really is how it gets started, what the individual does in order to file, and what we will do upon receipt of that document.
So the filee,
yeah,
the filee is the client of the commission, not the other way around.
The filer, or whatever.
Let's just say the person who
person
files.
Person filing.
Person filing.
Oh, boy.
I don't see why the initial contact from the client to the has to be in certified mail. You have to have some faith in the U.S. mail. And I think some others have said that's you're putting an additional burden on the client. You have to assume that once it gets to the agency, they're going to treat it properly. They're not going to tear it up and throw it in the wastebasket because we don't want to face this problem. I just don't think certified mail is necessary. I've been wrong before, many times.
So maybe we're back to the question of, do we want to include email as an option or don't we?
Madam Chairman?
Nancy?
I do believe that maybe fax at least should be an option. And email, maybe. That's iffier, but I don't think a fax is iffy.
I believe...
This is Janet Carney.
Yes?
And we do have a comment from Sheila.
I just want to say, if we're going to be stipulating how this is going to be corresponded amongst the people, just a thought to keep in mind is the fact that everybody does not have email or fax. So we certainly wouldn't want that to be the only way for them to be able to do it.
That's not the...
Thank you.
And this is Jan again.
Okay.
I wonder if you could even state it in written form, if that would suffice.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Who was...
This is Omaha, and we've had somebody join us, and I think she has a comment. Josephine, do you want to introduce yourself?
I can't hear.
Did you want to say something about the email?
Oh, well, yes. I believe that we have all the options. Mail, fax, and regular mail.
Okay, thank you. You kind of broke up, but I think what you were saying was that you believe that we should have all of those options available. Filing may be accomplished by personal delivery, fax, email, or mail. Now...
I just have one more comment.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I didn't have a mic here with me. Yes, you have that right. I think we should have all the options.
Okay, thank you.
Especially, I think we should have email because as a blind person, I'm going blind late in life. I cannot write, but I can type in an email if I have to.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Yes, thank you, Joe. Bob Deaton?
Yeah, for what it's worth, you know, I just wanted to add, you know, as far as RSA is concerned, if a person chooses to indicate their application for services via email, they do recognize that as valid, you know, so I think that is, as far as, I believe that's correct.
Yes.
And so I don't think there's any problems as far as, you know, a formal recognition by any regulatory authority.
Barb, we've had somebody join us too.
Well,
this is Carney again. Marietta Sims had a comment.
Excuse, may I say something first?
Yes. Why can't it just be the client's choice?
Okay, thank you, Marietta. Pearl?
Yes, we have had someone join here, and I've seen some other faces pop up in the other, at least one, and maybe it was Joe that I saw, but I was kind of waiting for introductions till we had a break, or till we finished this topic, but we do have another person here, so whatever you want, Barbara.
Okay, who has joined us?
Bill Brown.
Welcome, Bill.
Thank you.
We may be going back to a previous question, I don't know, but the business manager, Bill Brown, has now joined us, so any of you who still have or will have questions that relate to the books and so forth, he's here now. Okay, so right now what we're talking about is the potential of adding language. We've had everything from just put that this needs to be done in writing and leave it at that, to listing various kinds of options. Personal delivery, mail, email, fax. What is your thought, commissioners?
I'm inclined to lump it into written form. I like that. Then it covers everything. You have your options, whatever you want to do.
Keep it simple.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I would say we need to be, since it's date sensitive, email and mail have postmarker, but faxes are, I wouldn't think faxes would be appropriate because of the time, there's no time stamp on them. But email and U.S. post, I think, are fine. All the faxes I've seen have time.
Yeah, they do.
How about time
The fax machine...
Yes.
Confirmation.
The fax machine in the Lincoln office does print on there the time that the fax comes through and the date and where it came from. So all of that information is on the fax in Lincoln.
Okay, so excuse me?
I'm gonna say I'm being a pain in the butt. I think you need to be specific on spelling out written form encompasses everything, but it's vague.
Okay. So what is your wish? So far, I believe we've had Bob, Dorothy, and Bill agreeing that this filing may be accomplished by in written form and will be received during regular business hours. Or in writing, maybe. Excuse me?
I think written form is pretty specific.
Written form is vague.
Okay.
written form does not specify how in writing. If you list all the available options, it does not leave room for wiggle room.
Okay, I appreciate your comments, Jim. At this point, if there aren't any new things to be added by anyone, we will take a vote. And we could say filing may be accomplished in writing and will be received during regular office hours. Is that what people want us to deal with?
Barbara, this is Bob Burns.
Yes.
Since we're talking about logistical issues, it ask Pearl. I mean, is if it comes in any of these methods, is it adequate? Is it going to cause confusion in the office, or is it?
I felt like she addressed that a little bit ago when we were talking about the what happens if a certified piece of mail comes in, and she said that there was adequate. There were adequate ways of dealing with that, but I'm not going to speak for her. Pearl, do you have anything to add?
I would just add that if someone brought to me something written that said, I disagree with the determination and I want to file a complaint, I would put that in top priority. That would be accepted. I would not say, well, let's see, what does the rule say and did you match this? We would certainly look at the 30 days, but if they brought it to me in Braille, you know, I would accept it. I would date mark when I received it and get moving.
You just have to stamp it when it comes into the office, then you have proof that
yes,
you received it.
Right. So I like the broader, you know, however broad we can get it so that the people know that however they need to make their problem known, as long as it's, you know, something that will stay, if you just say it to me, then I might have misheard you or it's lost, but it needs to be electronic or written, but somehow using the language, you know, in written form kind of encompasses everything. Who knows, maybe there will be some new technology that isn't in our list later, a year from now, but in writing or in written form, I would think captures all of it. That lets us get moving with the issue of you know, letting them know the mediation is available.
Yeah, maybe we don't even need the may be accomplished and all of that. Maybe we can just say written filing will be received during regular office hours. Does that work?
Well, I think
or not.
The other wording makes it clear that that's a step the person must take. The filing is accomplished by
okay.
And what the step is. So I'd leave that part. But I'd say I would suggest
the ad will be transmitted in writing. Transmitted is broad enough, encompasses any form that they choose. I can accept that.
Filing must be transmitted in writing and will be received during regular office hours.
That sounds good to me.
Filing must be transmitted in writing and will be received during regular office hours. Are there any motions?
That will be. Is that necessary? Received? will be received, transmitted and received. And will be received.
It will be received during filing. Must be transmitted in writing during regular office hours. No. Well.
Must be.
No. The
form
received
and
is
received.
And received.
And received.
We received.
Excuse me.
We received.
Be sent and received.
Well, but if a person is going to email, they could do that at 3 o'clock in the morning. So,
right, but we would probably receive it between 8 to 5.
Yeah.
This is Pearl. I would just say having the time and the office hours just helps the, let's say, a client who might be reading this rule to see what they're supposed to be doing. You know, in case they wouldn't know. I guess I don't think it hurts to have it in there.
Well, I think it needs to be in there partly to define the 30-day thing.
That's true,
because
too.
If somebody sends an email on Saturday, their 30 days isn't going to begin till Monday, as I understand
right.
that, but maybe I don't understand it, and that's why we're talking about it.
Yeah, I don't think this document gets that specific or legalistic.
Yeah.
It shouldn't.
I hope
and
not.
It did already get approved by the feds and by the legal person in the general voc rehab agency. So I think it's probably pretty good to include, just leave that. But I think it broadening the transmittal is a good idea.
And since Bob Deaton pointed out the thing about the Rehabilitation Services Administration not having a problem with people applying that way, they shouldn't have a problem with our broadening
yes.
this kind of thing.
Right.
Okay, so our current language on the table is...
You want me to read it, or are you...
Sure.
Okay. Filing must be transmitted in writing and will be received during regular office hours of the commission, which are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday, except state holidays.
Does anyone want to revise that? Are you still having trouble with will be received, Bill?
I am.
Okay. What do you want to do with it?
I'll accept it. I won't.
Now, I wonder...
It's the same thing, actually.
Yeah.
Transmitted and received is the same as will be transmitted and will be received.
Yeah,
it's the same
so
thing.
It's a matter of grammatical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Filing must be transmitted during regular office hours.
Well, no.
No, and then you're changing it.
I meant filing
will
must
be transmitted
in writing.
In writing and received
in the
office.
Commission.
Yeah, received in the by the
received
commission.
Received by the commission.
During regular office hours, period.
Wouldn't
because your vacation, the days off, that's not regular office hours.
Yeah.
So you don't
I don't
that
know why
there.
You need to have that in off regular office hours in there, period. It just needs to be transmitted within 30 days, period.
And received by the commission.
Yeah.
Regardless,
it's not necessarily gonna, if it's gone by mail, it's not necessarily going to be received within 30 days if it's mailed within 30 days.
Well, yeah.
I believe that the office hours were put in there partly so that people who wanted to personally deliver something, they would know when those hours are.
Somebody's mic is open.
We have a comment in North Platte.
Okay.
Instead of transmitted, shouldn't it be submitted during office hours?
Well, it's received during office hours. It's like an email, you can transmit it at 2 o'clock in the morning. But
I guess I would just like to say that this kind of very close editing,
yeah.
I kind of feel like we should trust that the attorney at Voc Rehab and the federal, our state representative in Kansas City, if any piece of this really was a problem, they would have caught it. And I would recommend other than expanding the format issue, that even if the rest of it isn't exactly how each of us would like it, it'd be better to leave it alone. Maybe there are reasons that we don't know that give the times and such.
I mean, there's legal and then there's clear for consumers. And the two don't necessarily...
Oh, I know. I've tried to make this non-legalistic all the
way. Well, at this point, it should be non-legalistic when you're talking about mediation, because that's supposed to be a simple, quick solution.
I would think, I think submitted is probably fine. I think that's probably more accurate, because we, you know, transmit could be some things, but it needs to be submitted. It needs to be gotten to you. That's the word that we're really looking for. So,
submitted to the commission.
I think maybe that one does make sense to me, to change transmitted to submitted.
Of course, transmitted wasn't even in the original.
Neither,
filing may be accomplished by.
Yeah.
That's plain old words. Mm-hmm. I meant to say was that those folks know what is required by the law.
Yes.
And this is simply worded, but they know that it covers, so...
But
if you get right down to it, submitted and transmitted might be a word that somebody might not quite understand, but accomplish is more of a daily word that people use. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
The original term filing would suffice.
Yes.
Right, filing, and it's just says may be accomplished by, this is says, is telling the reader, how do I file?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By bringing it in or mail. That's all.
I think that covered it. I don't think.
Okay, so if we want to get broader, though, we would go back to filing may be accomplished in writing.
That would be more, I think that would be good.
But it makes it sound like when you say may, it makes it sound like there could be other ways of doing it.
Oh, that's true. That's
so
right.
That would be confusing to me if I were reading that.
Yes.
She always
that's part of why I wanted to get rid of that.
May is permissive.
Filing must be. Filing must be?
Shall be.
Shall.
Mm-hmm. Shall be?
Filing shall be in writing. Excuse me?
Accomplished by submitting in writing.
Oh, goodness sakes. We all agree that we want people to submit something in writing.
Right.
To file something in writing. Filing shall be by written document.
Shall be in writing?
Filing shall be
in
writing. Period.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we think that the office hours are there for some nebulous reason on the part of the federal people or whatever, then we can say... regular office hours of the commission are whatever.
Just leave that the way it is. May I ask it this way? Would anyone not be able to live with the following? Filing shall be accomplished in writing and will be received during regular office hours of the commission, which are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday, except state holidays.
Hey,
let's go with it.
Good.
That covers it.
Anybody have any objections to that?
No.
Who just said no?
I think that was Dorothy.
Dorothy just said no, I believe.
Yes. I have no objections.
Okay. Thank you, Dorothy.
And Dorothy just said yes.
Bob? Burns?
It's fine.
Okay. Nichelle?
Sounds good. Let's go with it.
Okay.
Okay. That is all I have on chapter two.
Okay, does anybody in the public have comments or questions on chapter two?
This might be a good time to ask if anyone else who has not introduced themselves has arrived.
Has anyone who has not introduced themselves arrived?
This is Cardi, and we have a comment here.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Sheila. This is Sheila. In this chapter 2, 5.05 mentions the State Rehabilitation Council. And if there's no longer going to be a State Rehabilitation Council, I'm wondering if you want to leave that in there. Would it be harder to get out of there later? How sure are we that the council will no longer be in existence?
Want me to?
Pearl, would you like to address
it? I'd be happy to. Thank you for catching that. I would say we're quite certain that the State Rehab Council will not continue. And so since these, this rule would take effect probably after or right around the same time as the legislative session is finishing and that their change takes effect, that we could go ahead and just delete or the State Rehab Council. That, I think that would be a very good idea. Does the board agree with that?
I would agree.
Okay, Bill agrees. Anybody else?
Bob and Dorothy agree.
I agree.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila. Okay, has anyone arrived who has not introduced him or herself? Okay, I take that to mean no. Has anybody who has arrived since we started wanted to comment on something from chapter one? Okay, we will move on to, okay, is there anybody else who had any comments on chapter two? I don't want to skip anybody.
Do you want to ask Della if she wants any more clarification from Bill? Or not, I don't care.
Okay,
Della said she doesn't need further clarification.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we will then move along to chapter three. Do commission board members have any comments or questions about chapter three? This one has to do with the vending program. Okay, Pearl, I know that you had, let's see here, I'm looking for
quite a few things.
Yeah. So at this point we can go into those.
Okay, thank you. I'll go about these basically in the order of the document. Some of the comments or recommendations came from either vendors or the feds or things that we caught within the agency. And so those are all mixed, and I'll try to tell you where it's relevant. But the first spot we need to look at is 003.01B. And We had put in here, B was, no wait, Open to the right spot here. As it reads now, B says, citizen, this is for the issuance of licenses. Requirements for licensing. The state licensing agency may issue licenses to those persons meeting the following requirements. B is citizen of the United States as recognized by law for federal buildings. And then below on D, we said if the vending facility is on non-federal property, at least, E, a non-citizen who is legally authorized to work for vending facilities on non-federal property. This we had replies from the federal people both in Kansas City and in Washington, D.C., and also from the blind vendor, the Committee of Blind Vendors, who all agreed that we should not, in fact, cannot allow a non-citizen who is, even if they are legally authorized to work, to be a blind vendor, even if it's on non-federal property. Now, I do have a note from the chair of the Committee of Blind Vendors basically stating what their premise is. Would you like for me to read that?
Yes.
Okay. It was emailed to myself and all of, or I think to all of the board, but it starts, "Hello, Barb. As chairman of the Committee of Blind Vendors, I am writing you regarding the new proposed rule on non-citizen vendors. In the section 003.01B, it states that the vendors need to be citizens for federal facilities. In section 003.01E, it talks about being a non-citizen for non-federal facilities. It is the belief of the committee that the federal regulation speaks clearly that only a legal citizen can be a vendor. We also believe that the federal regulation supersedes any state regulation, meaning that only a citizen can be licensed to operate either a federal or state vending facility. Therefore, we believe the section allowing a non-citizen for non-federal vending facilities cannot be allowed or implemented. We believe that section 001.03E needs to be removed or changed to say that only citizens can operate a federal or non-federal vending facility. If you have any questions about this, please email me or call. Thank you, David Hunt, Chairman, Committee of Blind Vendors." And the word that we had from the feds, which started with the regional office, and then we heard from George Arsenault, who is the Randolph-Shepard Program Specialist in the Central Office of Washington, D.C., citing the regulations and stating that the Randolph-Shepard law requires blind vendors to be citizens, and that the anything within the whole blind or business enterprise program is covered by the Randolph-Shepard law. So we could not pick and choose parts of it that we wanted to open up to, say, a non-citizen any more than we could open it up to somebody who was not blind. I did write to Mr. Arsenault and asked for a determination in writing so that we could be very clear about this reading of it, and as it turned out, he didn't receive the letter. I'm glad I didn't say this before the last discussion. But anyway, our person in Kansas City did fax the letter that she had received to Washington, and so but that was just a couple days ago. It was last Friday that I found out that he had not received the letter. So he is still drafting some material and will have the Commissioner of Rehab Services Administration look at it, who will then probably send us a letter. But that's what it's going to say. So that on that little piece, we would say for 301B would read citizen of the United States, and 301E would simply be deleted to comply with and be consistent with B. Anything else on that?
Well, one thing I think that we're going to be needing to deal with as time goes on, not just as a Commission for the Blind, but in our country in general, is that we're going to begin to need to rethink how we deal with these kinds of issues, because there are a lot of non-citizens who are qualified to work who need to be able to have a way of getting into the